BBC News.
And the news was read by Zeb Soans. The celebrated director Jane Campion is on Front Row tonight discussing the award-winning series Top of the Lake, which is about to return to BBC Two for a second season. But now, while we're whistling for everyone's favourite Brexit bulldog, here's a flyer for one of Radio 4's great attractions.
John Lloyd is reopening Radio 4's imaginary museum.
Well, I understand that this museum can magic up absolutely anything, whether it exists
or not. Well, we can certainly, yes, we could.
The Museum of Curiosity.
But I'm afraid I'm not going to let you have them.
What? I think you've misunderstood the point of the show.
With the new curator, Ramesh Ranganathan, accepting all manner of objects.
I would like to give the museum a museum cosy. Like to yarn bomb the museum.
Well, I'm up for that. I think that sounds like a really good idea. A huge woolly
museum.
Warm.
The Museum of Curiosity returns next Friday evening at 6:30 and then available on the BBC Radio 4 website.
That's next Friday, but for now it's time to give the news a last friendly kick. Here come our dead ringers.
Ringers.
You're listening to Today with me, Sarah Montague.
And me, John Humphreys.
Time now for our Today Puzzler. If John Humphreys spends his morning patronising British tennis players, getting the time wrong and behaving like Grandpa Simpson, why does he get paid four times more than me?
Oh, come on, Sarah. I hope you're not going to go on about the gender pay divide and feminism, yawn central.
This is like the suffragettes all over again, John. I've got a good mind to throw myself in front of one of Gary's racing tips at 7:25.
Well, to defend the megabucks salaries paid to the BBC's male stars, I'm joined now by one of their key beneficiaries, the highly respected Today programme presenter, John Humphreys. Thank you, John. Hello. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Now, can you really justify me being paid £650,000 a year? Yes. Great, well, I think that's settled. Lots of big girly fuss about nothing. In half an hour, I'll be wiping my ass with the new Jane Austen tenor. But first, I can now speak to...
Oh, my God, it's happening. Standard BBC policy, John. You're regenerating from a grey-haired, expensive old man into someone cheaper and female.
Hello and welcome to This Week. I'm Andrew Neil. Big, lumpy and a funny colour. Joining me on the show is a sentient hairbrush who claims he's the reincarnation of Freddie Mercury, the first man in the history of the world to be called Roger, and Diane Abbott!
Andrew, your incredulity is misplaced and anachronistic. I will not be dismissed anymore, for Jeremy and I are poised to form a government.
Really? Who says?
Tony Blair. Yes, even he, Mr. Tony Blair, a Blairite no less, he says that Jeremy could be Prime Minister.
And do you agree that Jeremy could be Prime Minister?
Of course I do.
So you agree with Tony Blair?
Oh, no. Don't be silly, Andrew. I can never agree with Tony Blair on anything. That can never happen. It's impossible.
So you don't think that Jeremy Corbyn could be Prime Minister?
Of course I think that Jeremy could be Prime Minister.
So you agree with Tony Blair?
Not at all.
So you don't think Jeremy Corbyn can be Prime Minister?
Of course he can.
So you agree with Tony Blair?
Of course I don't.
Come on, Diane. Which is it? You have to choose.
I don't agree that Jeremy is not... That Tony... I agree with... Andrew, that does not compute. I cannot compute. Overheating. Emergency. Hackney alert.
Good evening, I'm Jeremy Vine with my voice like a wasp. Whizzing past your ears, welcome to the BBC Kerchingometer. I'm covering this controversial topic the only way I know how. A huge green screen and an absurd amount of CGI! If we go over here, we're at a CGI pool party. Ooh, funky time. Where Chris Evans is making all the women at the BBC dance for his spare change. Dance, Winkerman, dance! Through the CGI porthole to a cityscape of Tokyo, where a Godzilla Graham Norton is stamping on a soup kitchen full of BBC female talent. Ooh, oh no! Here comes a giant glass ceiling smooshing all the women down. The only way it'll break is if Nick Grimshaw drops his wallet on it. If we go back to the Kirchingometer, this blue area here represents all the ethnic minorities on the list. No, I can't see it either. And now we go over to my personal bank vault. Good Lord, it is huge! And there's a CGI Tony Hall shoveling in cash by the wheelbarrowful. Ooh, come to daddy, num 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 num. Ooh, what's this? A CGI text from ITV. They've seen my enormous wages and they're willing to double them. Oh, ta-ta peasants! Enjoy your next election coverage with Christopher Biggin.
Hello there, this is Michael Gove. I'm not here at the moment, so please leave me a message after the Gove. Gove. Michael, hello, it's Michael Gove here. Now, listen, sweet cheeks, just a quick heads up for you. You know I'm not one for backbiting. Strictly a front biter with the odd nibble around the sides. That's yours truly. But I was talking to the other cabinet ministers, and they're saying you're the one doing all these secret briefings. And they were like, you know it's Gove, the poisonous toad. And I was like, whoa, that is, like, perfectly possible, but no need to call him names. And they were like, what do you mean, him? You're Michael Gove. You've lost it, mate. Teresa should totally sack you, and if she did, the only people who'd be sad like evil goblins because you're their king and you live in a palace that's not really a palace because it's made out of mushrooms. And anyway, I'm just glad he's not here to listen to this. And oh my goodness me, though, it's so super lovely to chat with you babes. Let's go out for frogut soon. All right then, soon, soon, soon. Gooby, gooby, goobster, bye.
Bill, my loyal companion, our time together is coming to an end, but there will be a new doctor. I shall regenerate. This time, I will be female!
Oh my God, Doctor! Your most powerful enemy yet! The misogynoids!
Which one of you is the leader?
Me. I'm Carl from Scunthorpe. I'm afraid I can't let you regenerate. It's meant to be Doctor Who, not Doctor Bloody Bras.
It's meant to be a sonic screwdriver, not a whatever a woman would have instead of a screwdriver.
Probably a tampon or something.
Yeah, good one, Carl.
Hang on, why can't the Doctor be a woman?
Oh, how on earth is a Time Lord meant to travel through time without a fully functioning penis?
Never mind that. Why have you come here? Why now?
We've been watching from afar. We put up with the dinosaurs running through London, the moon turning out to be an egg, and John Sim becoming Prime Minister. But a woman doctor, now that's just ridiculous. So we've come to destroy you and regenerate the doctor as...
Nope, don't steal.
Yes, Chris Marshall from my family.
We cannot let that happen.
No!
And now our final enemy is defeated, I can regenerate.
Goodbye, Doctor. I'll miss you.
Ah, I am the new Doctor. Smarter, braver, and superior in every way. And being a woman, the BBC thought they could save a fuel bob and my salary and all.
Hello, this is the office of Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now, as I'm pretending that I still run the country.
Prime Minister, it's David Davis, your Brexit bulldog here. Master negotiator. The things I do for my country. I spent a whole hour in Brussels last week. It was just awful. Even the water tasted foreign. I know I should have stayed longer, but of course, I missed England. I wanted to be home, lounging on my full-price DFS sofa and eating my one for the price of two Domino's pizza. Hey-ho, duty calls. I'm back in Brussels now. And this time, I've remembered my notes. I didn't put them in my briefcase, of course. That's empty. Ha-ha! You can't fool the Brexit Bulldog. I knew Pedro at Customs would X-ray it and tell Johnny Brussels all our secret plans in advance. So I was very clever. I rolled my notes up, stuck them inside some empty cigar cases and strapped them to my body to fool the foreigners. Clever, eh? So, I went to the meeting. Johnny Brussels was looking all smug and he waves his huge wadge of A4 in my direction and asks me about my Brexit demands. I open my jacket and yell, "Here's my Brexit demands right here, Pedro." Read them and weep. Anyway, long story short, for some reason, everyone's lying on the floor with their hands on their heads. I can hear helicopters outside and someone's shouting at me through a megaphone. They certainly do their negotiating in a funny way on the continent. Oh well, as they say, when in Rome, avoid the toilets. Brexit Bulldog out.
Hello and welcome to The One Show with me, Matt Baker, and...
What?
With me, Matt Baker, and Alex.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. I assumed you were going to do the whole show today.
Well, I'm guessing you've seen the earnings list then.
Right up near the top, Matt Baker, £500,000. Then I scroll down, some more.
Alex, I also present Country File.
Oh, anyone can point at sheep. You're up there with Wig Kerman and Hugh Edwards, and I'm slumming it on a crap list with Nicky Campbell and Alan Shearer.
Hey, now, that's not fair. I've met Alan Shearer and he can almost string a sentence together.
So I reckon you should do it on your own. Go on.
Right. Well, Giles Brandreth is in Bourton-on-the-Water meeting Britain's oldest celiac. Giles. Giles?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Moneybags. Did you want me to do something?
Oh, not you as well.
You want to know my pay situation? £500 a year.
Cripes, they don't pay you much.
No, that's what I pay the BBC to let me on the telly.
Well, let's go over to Phil Tufnell, who...
He's on strike.
All right, here's Anita Rani...
She's looting your dressing room and flogging your stuff on eBay.
Come on, Alex, I need you. What if I give you half my salary?
It's not about the money, Matt. It's a matter of principle.
What if I promise to move the show to Wales and we don't tell Giles?
Next up on The One Show, fiends. Are they just really tubby wasps? Ah.
Hello there, this is Michael Gove.
Gove.
Hello, it's Michael Gove here, the Gove Meister. Wanted to give you a quick call because I've just this second listened to a message on my aunt's phone from a certain Michael Gove. Now, you know how much I hate tittle-tattle and tettle-tottle and tuttle too, for that matter, but he reckons you're behind all the leaks. And he was talking to me and, like, the rest of the cabinet, they were all like, oh, it could be any number of people, let's not jump to conclusions. And he was like, no, it's definitely Gove, the poisonous toad. And they were like, harsh, nurse, he's not that bad. And like, he was like, even are you actually serious? He's a goblin king and he's even got a crown, except it's not a crown, it's a pine cone with like slug trails all over it. Like, between you and me, I think he's losing his marbles. And anyway, so special to speak with you. Oh yes, Thortet, you and me, hot yoga, let me know. Gooby, 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 you, bye.
BBC Radio 4. And now it's Moneybox Live.
Hello, I'm Paul Lewis. 17 years I've been presenting Moneybox, and I still didn't make the BBC top earners list. So why anyone would listen to me for money advice, I don't know. Our first caller today is John from Sidcup.
Hello, Paul. I've been left a lump sum of £70,000, but I'm concerned...
Yeah,
about...
well, we've all got problems, mate. I earn half what Hacker on CBBC earns, and he's a puppet dog. So jog on. Next on the line is Anne from Cleethorpes.
Now then, I'm approaching retirement age. How best would you...
You know what? Why don't you phone Gary Lineker? £1.7 million a year. I bet he's got some cracking money tips for you. Do you know where I've been on holiday the last 5 years? A caravan park in Llangollen. And it was self-catering. My whole holiday probably cost less than what Gary Lineker tips the concierge at his six-star Dubai hotel. Next on the line is David from London.
I'd like advice on investing £25,000.
Ian Beale from EastEnders. £250k a year. I've got oak furniture less wooden than him. Shut up! Stick your 25 grand up your ass. Right, well, I won't be here next week, but I will be phoning in to ask Peter White why I still have to buy disposable razors and toilet roll from Poundland. Goodbye.
Please leave your message after the beep.
Brexit Bulldog here, PM. Batting for Britain. Well, if you remember, everyone was on the floor for some reason. There was helicopters outside the window, and they were soon joined by men with guns on the rooftop opposite. Then some bloke in a balaclava and a bomb-proof vest knocks on the door and introduces himself as a negotiator. The cheek of it! I'm the master negotiator around here. He asked me if it's a hostage situation. Good question, I think. Yes, the EU is certainly holding old Blighty hostage with its red tape and its insistence on food standards. So yes, I cry, it's definitely a hostage situation. Then all of a sudden, there's three blokes in bomb-proof vests outside, and I had about 20 dots of red light shining on my body. They asked me about my demands, and I say finally, finally, we're getting somewhere. Down to business, I say. I said, right, for starters, we want to kick out all of the Polish barmaids from the UK, but we want free movement for all our football hooligans. And you have to keep our lobster-coloured expats too. We want all access to your lucrative markets, but we reserve the right to sell you beef-eater dolls covered in lead paint and Union Jack teddies filled with asbestos. Well, he knew I meant business. He's gone back to liaise with his masters. They seem very efficient for once. I'm sure I'll get my answer any minute now. Oh, here he comes back again. I think he's giving some sort of signal to his mates on the roof. Probably something about health and safety, you know. Typical Brussels. I think it's a no, PM. Brexit Bulldog. Out!
The headlines again. Full-year profits at Sports Direct have halved to £113 million after the company settled Mike Ashley's bar tab. And fresh fighting has broken out in one of the world's most war-torn regions. We go live now to the BBC's Lise Doucette.
Terrible scenes here, Hugh. Hand-to-hand combat with neither side able to assert overall control.
Where are you, Lise? Yemen? Syria? Iraq?
No, Hugh, the BBC canteen. The corporation's female stars have just found out how little they earn compared to the men. An enraged Emily Maitlis has just dead-legged John Humphreys. Gary Lineker is currently cowering behind a makeshift shelter of cheese and onion crisps. Ruthless onslaught from Claire Balding, and I can confirm I have heard the phrase jug-eared tosspot. And Louise Minchin has just made Dan Walker eat the BBC breakfast sofa. I've never seen such fury, resentment and anger as I saw etched onto Sophie Raworth's face.
Yes, yes. Where is Sophie?
She's behind you, Hugh.
You're watching the 10 o'clock news with me, Hugh Edwards, and yes, I have just been wedgied.
Oh, God.
Spicy.
Sean, it's Donald. I need your help.
It's 3 a.m. How can I help, sir?
Did you see what happened to me in France? I shook hands with Emmanuel Macaroni for about 2 hours. He wouldn't let go.
Are you sure it wasn't you holding his hand, sir?
All I know, Sean, is when I moved my hand up, he moved his hand up. And then when I moved my hand down, you won't believe what happened.
Did he move his...
He moved his hand down, too. Was he reading my mind, Sean? He might be able to read all my thoughts. We should nuke him, just in case. Just let me nuke one person, Sean. It can be my birthday and my Christmas present, Sean.
I'll discuss it with the general, sir.
Sean, I'm very sad because my health care bill collapsed.
Yes, sir. I suggest we bring in a fresh team of experts.
I know the perfect person. I've seen her name all over Twitter. She's a lady doctor, second name who? I think she must be from China. China! She works for the BBC. They're very bad people, Sean. Sean?
Yeah.
Can I sleep in your bed tonight?
That's highly irregular, sir.
It'll be like Sesame Street. I'll be Bert, you be Ernie.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up later, it's Costing the Earth, or the Today programme with John Humphreys, as it's better known. But first, it's the Archers. Clary, Tony and Joe are down the pub.
How's the selling of that plot of land at Bridge Farm going?
Yeah, it's all worked out rather well. Tom made a total botch up over it, and now he's been asked to help run Britain's Brexit negotiations.
Oh, isn't that nice? Everyone should have a hobby.
I better you tell me.
Yes, we know you voted to leave, Joe. Don't know exactly what you're taking back control of, do you?
I've got a bone to pick with you, Joe Grundy.
Oh, Eddie, what's this about?
They've just released the list of the BBC's highest paid stars. Joe's on 400 grand a year.
I'm going to be a party.
Don't care if it is half what John Humphreys earns. We could have been living in the lap of luxury.
Has anyone else seen this list of the BBC's highest earners? Do you know the second from top earner in the Archers is on £700,000?
Who is it? Brian? Helen? Or Lillian?
No, it's BBC sound effect number 32546J. But admittedly, the show would be lost without her.
Who's the top earner out of all of us?
Oh, it's the man who plays the theme tune. He's on a million an episode.
What?
Well, that sounds a lot, but that's a very specialised job. You have to know when to play it in and everything. I said you have to know when to play...
This is the 10 o'clock news. I'm Fiona Bruce. I'm on 400 grand. Because I'm worth it. The headlines. The BBC has defended paying Chris Evans £2 million a year, saying as a presenter, he's done extraordinary things, like actually making us all miss Jeremy Clarkson. On a visit to the World Trade Organization, Liam Fox has outlined his vision for Britain post-Brexit. It's Mad Max Fury Road, reimagined as an episode of The Good Life. And after Jodie Whittaker has been announced as the new Doctor Who, the BBC has released other audition pieces for possible female Doctor Whos.
OK, so let's do some improv. So you're the Doctor and you've heard of a villainous plot to change the course of human history. So you've got to use the TARDIS to go into the past.
The past, you say?
Yes, please, Hilary.
But the past is nothing more than glass upon which our darkened reflection is cast. We can change history just by thinking about it. So if this villain is intending to change history, we can merely change it back.
I'm sorry, Doctor Who doesn't work like that.
Or does it? How can we even say with authority that Doctor Who has ever time-travelled? Or, indeed, has there ever been a programme called Doctor Who?
I've got the DVDs.
Or have you?
Yes, I have, and you can leave now.
Perhaps I have already left.
Someone send in Mary Beard.
Are you planning a long, hot summer of dancing, partying and calling your opponents murderers? Do you want all your favourite tunes together in one place? In much the same way as all the wealth of this country is held by a tiny, unaccountable elite who use it to persecute and enslave the working population. Careful now, Johnny. Don't kill the mood. Then you need the ultimate John McDonald Summer Dance Party CD. I've chosen a selection of my all-time favourite dance floor fillers to prove to the filthy bourgeois mainstream media that I'm not just about furious critiques of the neoliberal consensus. I have a fun side too. See? What an enjoyably frivolous noise. Even if it does nothing to stop the brutal slaughter of the Yemeni people at the hands of a Saudi regime armed by our very own government. Oh, come on, Johnny, keep it disco. So, bop yourself silly to classics like My Hips Don't Lie, But Laura Koonsberg Does. And Blame It on the B.
bastard Tories and their ideological obsession with austerity. Sorry, the boogie. Come on, hold it together now, Johnny. And if you have kids, there's fun for them too. John MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he did not force his workers to endure inhumane conditions as his hated Tory administration does, sending many of those farmers to an early grave. E-I-E-I-O. The ultimate John MacDonald Summer Dance Party CD. Available in all good independent record shops. Not that there are many of them left, what with Amazon's shameful tax-dodging corporate greed that effectively sodomises the very people that they're meant to serve. Perfect, Johnny. Well done.
You're watching the 10 o'clock news. Archaeologists now believe there were people living in Australia 18,000 years earlier than previously thought after the discovery in a cave of stone axes, ochre crayons and a barbecue set. We can go live now to Westminster for a special report on the latest political developments from our correspondent, Laura Koonsberg.
Don't even talk to me, hun.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be sorry. 550,000 a year and for what? Rotating yourself by 30 degrees while saying, and now with the weather, here's Thomas Schaffernacker.
There is a lot more to my job than that, Laura.
Like what?
Well, there's... that's not important. Besides, you're not doing too badly yourself, are you? You're on 200 grand a year.
Yeah, for moulding an entire political landscape. I'm out here day and night and night and day stirring up trouble while you're sitting in a nice warm studio, trousers off if you feel like it, and yet you get paid nearly three times what I do.
Laura, can we move on
Well, screw you, BBC. I'm going to ITV. I'm going to give them a whole new world of political pandemonium, Tory party with rotating guest leaders, an independent referendum for Shropshire, and scariest of all, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister.
Laura Koonsberg there. And now with the weather, here's Thomas Schaffernacker.
Please leave your message after the beep.
Brexit Bulldog here, PM. Batting for Britain. Now, if you remember last time I called, I just got shot by 600 rounds of high-velocity bullets. Well, here's a turn-up. Every one of those bullets hit the giant Toblerone I had in my pocket. Lucky or what, the Swiss certainly build their chocolate to last. Anyway, Johnny Brussels is so mortified that they nearly filled a UK delegate full of lead that they're willing to give us anything we want. Full access to the single market, no divorce payment, free movement for Brits, and no foreigners coming to Blighty without our permission. We got everything we ever wanted from Brexit. Well, you can imagine my response to that. No way, Pedro. I said, you're just trying to confuse me with your cunning, total and abject surrender. So, I kicked him in the nuts, jumped out the window and legged it. So, long story short, I'm in a field in Luxembourg. Remember that pig that owns Gibraltar? I married her. Brexit Bulldog out.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Colshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Neff Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Harve, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, Laura Major, Max Davis, Jack Bernhard. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.
Relive some of the best moments from the series by following links to the 7 Impressions of Politicians That Will Make You Laugh article on the Dead Ringers homepage. The show is now available to listen to online, and there's also a podcast.
In this post-truth age,
who
of fake news
should
misinformation
we
and alternative facts
trust?
Joe Queenan sets out on a quest to find the truth.
The public knows that things aren't true.
I'm searching for the truth.
They don't care.
A brief history of the truth.
They don't like the truth.
Tomorrow night at 8.
I can't understand why we're so gullible.
And then available on the BBC Radio 4 website.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
And speaking of truth, Oliver is about to discover the uncomfortable truth about what's been happening behind his back at Grange Farm. You can find out if the Grundys have run out of luck in the Archers in a couple of minutes.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. Police, who've been raking through a landfill site for the remains of a missing airman since March, say they've found no trace of him. Corey McCaig disappeared after a night out in Bury St Edmunds in September. CCTV cameras showed him entering a bin loading bay. Detective Superintendent Katie Elliott from Suffolk Police said the scale of the search was unprecedented.
We have searched the whole area where we believed Corey could be. We had compelling information that directed us to this area. However, we haven't found Corey, and this is bitterly disappointing. Without anything further to tell us where he might be, on such a vast site, the search cannot continue.
The Greek Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, has said that the island of Kos is getting back to normal after it was struck by a strong earthquake. Two people died and dozens more were injured in the quake, which also injured hundreds of people in the Turkish city of Bodrum. The White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer has resigned. US media say he objects to President Trump's appointment of a new communications director, Anthony Sacramucci, who would have been his superior. Palestinian protesters have clashed with the Israeli police in an escalating confrontation that began near the holy site in Jerusalem, known to Muslims as the Haram al-Sharif and to Jews as the Temple Mount. The Palestinian Health Ministry says three Palestinians have died. A 63-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of murder following the death of a teenage woman at a caravan park in Kent. Police were called to the site in Herne Bay this afternoon. Lawyers for Great Ormond Street Hospital have told the High Court the latest scans for the terminally ill baby, Charlie Gard, make for sad reading. Charlie's parents are arguing that he should be allowed to go to the US for experimental treatment. Paintings by Michael Jackson's former pet chimpanzee Bubbles are going on sale tonight at a gallery in Miami. The organisers say the proceeds will help fund an ape sanctuary in Florida. BBC News.
Now it's the Archers, and Clary's made a discovery.
With you in a minute, love. Go on, pigs, up you go.
Listen to me.
Nearly done.
Look at this.
Yes, Clary?
Look, this jug.
Yes, I can see it's a jug.
It's Caroline and Oliver's jug. And it's chipped on the spout, look.
So?
Well, it's those blooming people you never cancelled. It's on the shelf in their room. They said it fell off. There's a jug just fall off